Hello, friends. Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. Thank you so much for joining us today. On the Logistics of Logistics, I talk to experts in logistics and transportation, warehousing, fulfillment, supply chain, and of course, technology. And during these interviews, I'm always the one asking the dumb questions. I ask the dumb questions so you don't have to. Today's topic is Reflections on Manifest with my friend Courtney Muller. Courtney is the president of Manifest, the premier conference that unites the entire ecosystem of Fortune 500 global supply chain executives, logistics service providers, innovators, and investors at the forefront of logistics tech and supply chain. Courtney and I discuss Manifest 2024, which was bigger and better than ever. And we also discuss Manifest 2025, which will be held February 10th through the 12th in Las Vegas, and that's 2025. Manifest is a must-attend conference. So if you work in logistics and supply chain, please take a listen.
How's it going, Courtney?
It's going great, Joe. It's so good to see you today, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Yes, it's nice to talk to you again. Courtney, please introduce yourself and your company, where you're calling from today.
I am Courtney Muller. I'm the president of Manifest. I work for Connective, and I'm calling from Topsail Beach, North Carolina.
Very nice. So what is Connective and what is Manifest? For those who are not in this industry at all.
Yeah. Connective, we call ourselves a live event studio, and we produce events, generally speaking, around technology in sectors that are being disrupted by technology. We are a different type of event company. We're very interested in creating a white glove experience and a C-suite experience for everyone that walks through the door. We have a huge focus on networking and content. And really walking onto our show floor and feeling like, wow, this is different than any other event I've ever been to because there's so many fun things to do here in addition to all the business you're going to do with the vendors you're seeing on the show floor. So we're a different kind of company. I think our events are very unique. And when you come to a Connective event, you will know it and you'll walk away saying, that was different, that was better, and I can't wait to go back.
Yep. And the full name for the Manifest event
is Manifest, the Future of Supply Chain and Logistics.
Yes. Yeah. So for those who were wondering, I feel like everyone knows about the event, and this was only the third year. It was in February. It's only the third year, but it just feels like it quickly became one of those can't miss events.
I think it has, Joe, and we're really proud of that. The team is absolutely incredible, and I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. On the one hand, the pandemic was a nightmare for event organizers. We were terrified. Were events ever going to come back? But for the Manifest team, it ended up giving us a longer runway to the first event. So instead of having a year and 3-4 months, we had almost 2 years to plan the first event. So we came out of the gates really strong. And it's hard to believe that first event that we had at the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas, people were wearing masks.
Yeah. Now, I did not make it to that event. That was
22, still masked up.
But I always ask people at the end of my podcast, what events will we see you at? And a number of people said, I'll be at Manifest. And then just before that, I was like, I don't even know what the hell that is. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, very nice website. And then you're like, this is the who's who of the industry is speaking. And I was like, I'll be honest, I looked and I said, I'm going to interview some of these people because they were all people that I was like, I would like to interview everyone on this list. And it was hundreds. and then right after the event, people started saying to me, I just got back from Manifest. It was great. And that's when I reached out to you and Pam and said, hey, come on my podcast. Let's talk about this.
Exactly. Let's talk about this event. And Joe, we're so glad you did because you've been an amazing partner to
us. Thank you. You've been a great partner to me too. It's just fantastic to get to your event, and it is unlike any other. That's not putting anybody else down, but it's very unique, and we'll talk about why in a minute. But this was your third event, and tell us about the growth. I know you just told me you had over 4,600 people at this year's event. How many did you start with?
Yeah, so we started in 2022 with 1,400.
Which is still a good size event.
It was a great first event. We were so pleased with it. And then year two was 3,100, and then we grew to just over 4,600 this year. We are extremely happy about the growth. We couldn't be happier. Our goal was actually to hit 4,500 this year, so we just beat that. As far as our show floor goes, we doubled our footprint from last year to this year.
It was big.
We came to the 23 event. We were using half of Caesars Forum, and then we used the entire venue for the 2024 event. And it was just so great to see some of the exhibitors really went all out. Ocado brought a whole warehousing system, and Flexport was there. DHL with their awesome booth. ArcBest just really pulled out all the stops. Some really big booths. And we still have some of the trucks showing up in the back. One of the great things about the first year of Manifest was we had most of the autonomous trucks that were in business at that time were represented at the show. Some of them aren't around anymore, but it is still a feature of the show that we're proud of and we want to keep bringing them back.
And by the way, you did change the name to update it a little bit with this today. This event is now Manifest. It used to be the Future of Logistics, but because of all the supply chain people there, it became the Future of Supply Chain and Logistics. So anybody wondering, I don't want to go there because they don't have shippers that I can bother. The shippers are there. I talked to a lot of shippers there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the shippers are there. And we made a really concerted effort this last year to bring more shippers because in many cases, these are the people that our sponsors really want to interact with. So we did have a number of things for shippers this year. We had a new program of peer-to-peer roundtables. They were tremendous. The shippers that participated were very happy with them. And we also had a host of shipper program that was popular. And the shippers that took part in it were actually the happiest customers at Manifest.
And looking very at our nice.
Customers. Yeah. So we were really happy about that. And we hope to continue to grow that program as well.
Last year, I moderated the shipper panel. And I really enjoyed it because the nature of what I do is I talk to people about what's going on, obviously. And they're talking about digital this and automated that. And then when you talk to the real shippers, you get a little different story. They were great, but they also had vice presidents and chief operating officers, founders on that stage. And when I got there, I was like, oh, it's a packed house. Everyone's coming to see me. And I was like, oh, wait, this is the shipper panel. Everyone came to see the shippers.
No doubt.
Somebody came to see me. But anyway.
I need people there to see you.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a fantastic event and there were a lot of shippers there. One of the things also, and I did not make it again because I was scheduled doing podcasts, but the women's lunch. I know you want to talk about the women's lunch. Please do.
I always want to talk about the women's lunch. It's one of my favorite things at the event. I do host it every year. And this year we had Lindsay Kaplan with Chief and Rothna Sherrod with Flavor Cloud, who had a fantastic conversation.
I've interviewed her.
Yeah, covering a number of topics. And just one of the things I'll talk about that they talked about was imposter syndrome. I'm sure you're aware of what that is, Joe.
Yeah, guys get it too.
Absolutely. Everybody gets it, I think, at some point in your life, in your career. And it was just one of those great things to hear people talking about. People at the highest levels of industries still feel that way sometimes. And it's just something that, you know, too bad we can't all just wipe it from our minds. It's not that easy, but it is something I feel like once you recognize it and you put your finger on what it is, then you can work it out in your mind and realize that no matter where you are, whether you're doing a podcast with Joe Lynch or you're on a stage in front of thousands of people, that you belong to be there and you've earned it and you're valuable enough to be where you are. So I love that part of the conversation. And in honor of International Women's Day, I just have to say it. That is today, the day we're recording this podcast.
We'll probably won't publish for a week. Is Women's Day when we're talking. By the way, since we're talking about the luncheon, you this year also, you guys hosted, you and Jay hosted a media luncheon, which was great because I've mentioned to you last year that we talk all year long. And then I didn't see you at last year's conference. And I was like, there's a lot of people. It's easy to miss people if you don't plan on it. So the media luncheon was great for all of us in the media. I got a chance to talk. I talked to them on the phone a lot, but I met new people in the media that I did not know. And it was fantastic. We all had a blast. And I ended up hanging out with a lot of them throughout the whole conference. And by the way, the media is so different now. You got Bloomberg there and you're like, oh, okay, that's the blue chip, right? But then you also have Mother Truckers there.
That's right.
And all the podcasters who I know, most of the podcasters, and Mother Trucker is a YouTuber, but just so much going on there. And they were interviewing up a storm while we were out there. So
exactly. It was
really fantastic. And again, I thank you so much for having us all there, but also for having that nice lunch where we got to know each other even better.
Yeah, it was selfish on my part too, Joe, because there had been many of you that I hadn't seen the year before at the show. And it just seems so crazy. And I did think it was valuable for all of you to see each other as well. And especially at the beginning of the show, because now you've seen each other, you've met some people, you can run into each other the rest of the show, and hopefully it makes it even more valuable. We will be doing it again. And I hope that even more media will show up. I'll make sure that I get the word out.
I think they were all there.
They weren't all there. No, there was a number that missed it, unfortunately. They had made their flights, so they wouldn't be able to make it. And that, shame on me for not getting the word out soon enough.
Yep. By the way, before I forget, I had written down my own reflections on Manifest right after I was there. I think I did it on the plane. And one of the things I wrote, it was huge. But it feels a lot like a reunion when I was there. Like people I saw last year at Manifest, but also all the people out that you know that you work with on a regular basis, but you don't talk to them in person. And there's a big difference between talking on the phone and being there with them. I have a lot of sponsors who are out there, a lot of people I've interviewed in the past. It's such a fantastic event that way. It feels, the personal connection's nice, but there's just the business networking is.
So let me ask you a question, Joe, because someone, one of our partners said this to me, and I had never heard someone express this sentiment before. And he said, one of the things he liked about Manifest was it wasn't clicky. There was nothing that you felt like you weren't a part of. And if you were standing in line to get food or at an activation, anyone would talk to anyone. And it didn't feel like certain people thought they were elite or standoffish. He said it just felt like everyone was there to make connections. And love hearing that. I thought that was amazing. And it speaks well to the people that are coming to the event.
Yeah, it does seem to have that culture that just people are very open. And, oh, who are you?
Exactly. Should we be doing business?
I will also say, yes, and we were going to talk about this. One of the best parts about Manifest is the badges, the lanyards that you wear around your neck. They have a little sensor. If I see Courtney, I can press the button on the back of my lanyard and it connects me with her on, and it puts all of my connections from Manifest into a CSV file. And so rather than have a big stack of business cards, I don't bring business cards to Manifest. I don't even have any business cards now that I think about it.
Giving away one in a really long time.
But it is so cool to be walking around. And in a lot of ways, that's an icebreaker. So when you say there's no clicks, everyone's awkwardly trying to scan everybody to see who you can meet. But it is so much better than handing off cards or trying to write down somebody's name. So the badges is a fantastic, or every event should have those.
And the thing that's great about that too, Joe, is we know exactly how many connections were made at the event as a result.
How many?
100,000, over 100,000.
I was only responsible for 120.
Okay, that's good. You did your share.
Yeah. And it's all in a CSV file. So if you want to do something with it, and by the way, a lot of the people I met, you can tell they're putting it into the CRM and saying, hey, Joe, we met at Manifest.
Yes.
I get a lot of emails saying we met at Manifest. So anyway, so we talked about the shipper, first of their shipper roundtables. Did you talk about that at all?
Yeah, we had shipper roundtables for the first time. There was 31 of them, I think. They took place on the Monday and the Tuesday. Peer-to-peer, only shippers participated in them, and the feedback was tremendous. They like being with each other and learning from each other. So we like being able to provide those opportunities. And it was a great success. And we'll be doing many more of them in 2025.
I like it. I always say, you bring the shippers, it's like ladies' night. The fellows will show up. If you want to have an event with lots of logistics folks, invite the shippers. We talked about the women's lunch. We talked about the media lunch, 4,600 people. I wanted to talk about some of the trends. Before we get into the most popular events, which would tell you a little bit about the trends, I want to talk just a few little things I saw that I really thought were cool. Business process outsourcing. There are so many business process outsourcing companies there. And it just felt like this went from a small niche of our logistics business to just mainstream. It's the norm now. Everybody's talking about my back office in Colombia, Philippines, Mexico, you name it, Belize, I just heard. So they were all over the place. I don't know how many, but I'm thinking there had to be at least 6 or 7 companies there.
Oh, probably. Yeah. And you're mentioning a lot of countries. We did have participants from 44 countries at the event this year. So it was quite international. I kept hearing a lot of different languages everywhere I went. But I think you're right, Joe. I think there was a lot of business process. And as you and I were saying before, people are looking for good people. And just trying to get the right staffing these days is really a challenge and will continue to be a challenge into the future.
Yeah, I saw PBJ there from Freight Caviar. And I've talked to him on the podcast. I think we've talked on the phone, but I met him in person. He is 6'8".
Yes. Yes. Like, I was a tall man.
I don't know. I feel like you should have said something on the phone.
Yeah, you should have given me a heads up.
But anyway, he's all the way from Poland. So yeah, there's a lot of people. Yeah. There were people from everywhere coming up and talking to me. I would have to count, but I'm guessing I talked to at least 7, 8, 10 countries because it kept coming up. I know there's people from Mexico, Belize, Poland, Israel. Lots going on over there. Oh, I met a lot of Germans there.
A lot of Germans. There was a great group from Israel, and they actually did a special toast for their group on Monday afternoon, right before our welcome party. So it was great for them to all be able to get together. Yeah, and hope to see more of them next year.
Yep, it was fantastic. So let's talk about the most popular events. And again, this is the cool thing about having the badges. You can track where all of us are going.
Exactly. And the beauty of that too, Joe, is we don't have to scan people when they're going in and out of places. It just makes for a much more seamless experience for the attendee.
Yep. Why don't we start with the most popular event? What was the most popular event?
Yeah, so we're talking about sessions, actually.
And don't say bar. Don't say the bar, because that's not being specific. Well,
in terms of number of people, probably the most people were at the after party. But we're talking about education now. And the number one most attended session was navigating supply chain disruptions. And that was the session put on by Ryan Peterson. And it was on the plenary stage. So not really a surprise.
Flexport had a big presence there.
I think people are very interested in Ryan Peterson and all of the drama that took place in Flexport the last year.
Yeah, he was on the cover of Forbes this year.
I think people were really curious to hear what he had to say. So that wasn't a surprise at all. The second most popular session was given by Sally Miller of DHL, orchestrating the future of supply chain digitalization. So that was fantastic. Now, there's a person I didn't get to meet, and I'm really bummed because I've heard she's really amazing and funny.
It's hard to meet the 4,600 people who come to your event.
But sometimes I can get them in the green room, and I didn't get her, unfortunately. And let's see, the third most popular session was redefining supply chain transformation and the impact it has on the customer journey. And that was Elliot Rogers from Foot Locker.
Oh, see, there are shippers there, fellas.
There are shippers there. Yes, indeed. And that was actually the first session of the morning, which is the hardest session to get people to because it's a little early. It's 8:30 in the morning. Ryan's session was like the third session. So it might have had to do with Ryan. It might have also been the timing a little bit.
A lot of us are trying to get the day job done before you go.
For those of us who are
East Coast time, my calendar was filled with East Coast and West Coast stuff. I don't know what I did wrong, but I know this. I had calls coming in at 6 a.m.
Right, exactly. And you're, hello, I'm in Vegas.
Yeah, by the way, this happened more than once where I had a meeting scheduled with somebody, made the phone call, and they said, oh, I actually can't talk. I'm at Manifest. I was like, so am I. Why are we having a phone call?
That's great. That's great.
More than once.
That's together.
What was the next most popular event?
So the next most popular was Supply Chain of the Future, Enhancing the Complexity. And then interestingly, so those were all plenary stage, right? So that's the big room with the big stage. The most popular track that was the session that was in just a normal track room was the current state of AI in supply chain. That didn't surprise me at all, given how much it's been a topic of conversation over the past year. And we had a number of sessions around AI, and they were all popular.
Yes, yes. I was talking to Kendra Phillips from Ryder. I think she's the vice president over there. I think in charge of the transportation management system and the brokerage. And we were talking about AI while we were there. And she said, God, everyone's talking about AI and I got to get a chance to interview her. I'm going to interview her again next week. But one of the things we were talking about is I think there's some uses of AI, but it seems like some people said this is hype. But I think it feels like it's AI readiness is what we're really, a lot of us are focused on. It's like we have data. Now, how do we get to the place where we're using our data to make predictions about the future? And by the way, I know a lot of companies out there, Green Screens is there, they are using AI. That is a company that's having great success with it. But when I was talking to them about AI when I was out there, they were saying, we have to clean up the data. When we get that data, before we can do anything about it, we have to clean it up. So that dirty data is still a challenge. But lots and lots of talk about AI. And
if you haven't implemented it in any way, it's very intimidating. Where do you start?
And again, I think you're definitely, I can tell you this, between now and next year, you're going to see a lot of movement because everybody's looking at it, everybody's talking about it. Some are using it. And I think there's a lot of consternation because it's big.
Yeah. No, it is big and it's going to continue to be big. Not probably not just this industry, but most industries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the other things we wanted to talk about was returns. There was a lot of returns people there. You mentioned it before we hit record. So please elaborate.
Yeah. We all know it's a big deal. I've been reading about it. And I just, this year for the first time, I noted, like you did with the business processes, that there were so many companies that have new programs, new softwares around returns. And it was just the first time I noted it in mass.
Yep. And we have to do better on it because we do know that some number of the returns are going to landfill. And that is depressing. You and I were talking before we hit record about how sometimes you're supposed to return something, it's $20. You're like, just give it to Goodwill. And then we're hearing some of the big retailers are like, oh, don't send that sweater back to us, Courtney, keep it. And sometimes I've had that where I'm like, it doesn't fit.
I don't even want it.
What are we going to look for a friend here? Like, hey, try on this sweater I got for free.
Save it for a present later in the year. I don't know.
So we have to figure out how to do a better job because it's not just the money, but it's sustainability. And I think you hear different things.
It feels like the sustainability is almost the biggest piece of it in my mind.
Sustainability is a huge part of it because as soon as it becomes, imagine being one of those retailers that's selling quite a bit via e-commerce, as soon as it comes out that, oh, a lot of their stuff gets thrown out, all of a sudden people stop buying from them for that reason. And the expensive brands are the most at risk because they don't want anybody buying a half price item.
That's right.
If it's a luxury brand, you're like, yeah, if you see a Gucci bag on 80% markdown, somebody screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah. That they wouldn't let that happen.
No, it's probably a knockoff.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's the problem is that means sometimes get thrown away.
I know. It's just a huge problem. And it's an upsetting problem as well. And one feels like we should be able to solve for.
Yep. And in addition to a lot of returns companies, what I notice is a lot of warehousing automation. I saw Gather AI had a really cool booth. I talked to Sankulp over there. Unbelievable what they're doing with drones on the inventory. I forgot the name of the company, but it's Dextery. They gave me a book. By the way, one of my favorite things to get, I got a book from Tive. I love drones.
Very nice.
I got a book from Dextery. So there, I think they're an Australian company or English. I don't forgot. There's some from one of those countries over there. And, a lot about warehouse automation. And that is going to be super important because we do not have enough people who want to work in warehouses. And I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get that to be the first step in a supply chain career working at a warehouse. And I think it's a lot easier to recruit young people or any people to it if there's cool tech.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm not doing the heavy lifting.
I know. Some of those systems are just really cool to look at.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many demonstrations at Manifest. By the way, I mentioned Ryder. They had a huge booth there. I think they had 30 people there.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Companies go all out.
Yeah. A lot of companies brought large teams. And obviously, the sponsors are more likely to do that. But we had Pepsi there with a large team. We had Best Buy with a team. We had Aristocrat Gaming with a team. Amazon had a large team. There were a lot of teams at Manifest this year, and we absolutely love to see that.
Yeah, it speaks to the success of the event. These companies aren't going to send that many people if they don't think they're going to get something out of it. They're planning on growing their business this way. So let's switch gears and talk about next year's Manifest.
Yes, indeed.
So you're moving again. We're getting even larger space. Am I correct to say that?
That is correct. We're moving to the Venetian. For anyone who knows Vegas, it really is such a great place to hold a show because everything is contained in one building, two hotels, the convention facility, restaurants, shops, all sorts of bars and dining. It's just, it's amazing. So we will have once again double the space that we had at the Caesars Forum. So we have a lot of work to do, Joe, over the next year, let me tell you. And a few of the highlights, we know so many people are coming in on Monday. And we're only offering content usually for starting at noon. We may start a little earlier next year. We're not sure yet. We're talking about it. But a lot of people come in on Monday and they want to have real substance, not just content. They want to be able to have meetings and do some other things. So we're going to have a very contained area for Monday of 2025 where the content will be, where meetings will take place. And it's just going to be a more seamless experience, I think, than people have experienced on what we call day zero in the past. And we're adding content to day one, day zero as well. In addition to having our intermodal half day, our sustainability, and our maritime and ports, we're also going to have a half day on cold chain. Feedback we got some of the shippers this year, we did not have enough cold chain on the agenda or on the expo hall. So it's an area we're going to put a big focus on in the coming year.
Yep. Before we hit record, I was telling you, I was talking to Ilya Preston from PackSafe the other day, and he said there's, I think, $40 billion of pharma a year that perishes because of cold chain. It expires. And 10 times that amount for food. It's $400 billion. And it's an incredible, we get back to that sustainability, because if that stuff's going into landfill, you're like, and by the way, it always bugs me when you go, yeah, we spent all this money growing this food, only to throw it out and knowing there's maybe a food bank 20 minutes away. We've got to get better at that. And cold chain is a big part of it. And the bar is so much higher for the cold chain guys. So
it is.
I love that focus. By the way, more and more stuff goes in the refrigerator too. I just see that a lot of the dog food now is ending up in the refrigerator. Any of you have, remember their grandparents not putting anything in the refrigerator?
Yes.
You're like,
they still belongs to butter out.
By the way, I keep Googling it right now. My butter is out and I'm like, it does not go bad. I keep telling myself Google it. It never goes bad because, oh, there's your associate. That's your associate's name. The dog. Your dog's.
Oh, Sailor. There she is.
Hi, Sailor. Anyway. Yeah. So I'm glad there's more focus on the cold chain. So I've stayed at the Venetian before. It's very nice, but I've enjoyed the Forum. I'm not, no complaints at all.
Me too.
But it is a little bit of a walk from where I stayed at Harrah's. The Venetian, I think, is going to be more self-contained, which is nice.
It is.
Back to your room to make a phone call or send an email.
Totally.
You're only allowed 5 minutes away, though. Can get back to the convention.
That's right. That's right. Make it speedy. We need you there.
So Venetian, next year, February 10th through 12th, so it's a week later, and there is no Super Bowl. But I honestly, I don't think the Super Bowl impacted
the
event at all. Now, we did start to see people wearing San Francisco or Chiefs stuff. But other than that, it was not like they were swamped. I got a hotel room, no problem. And I was a little more worried. I got it a little earlier.
Yeah. So we're very excited to go to the Venetian. We're going to have a lot more space to work with, which is also good because another thing we're going to offer next year is a lot more options for people to have meeting space. So at the end of the cycle this year, we had so many people and a lot of them were investor types. We have the meetings.
Every VC on the planet, every private equity on the planet.
We have the meeting center, which is meant for anyone to use, but a lot of people wanted to have their own private space for meetings. So we're going to offer next year meeting pods, meeting cubes, and meeting rooms. There's going to be three different options. If you're really anyone, you could be an attendee, a potential sponsor, anyone, you want to buy your own meeting space, that's going to be a possibility.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It's nice, actually. Nice.
Yeah, if you could just say, hey, stop by our area because we're open for biz.
And you don't want to have to build anything. You just want to show up and not have to worry about anything. It'll be a really nice option.
Yeah. By the way, people went so over the top at Manifest for a lot of people were doing podcasts right in there and their booths like all day.
Yes.
But then there was people like after like a certain hour, opened up the bars. So it was like a half these small parties breaking out across the whole event floor. And you're like, this is crazy. Yeah, it was really fun. And there was, I did feel like there was plenty of room to, they had the kiosks for the smaller businesses. So I think, I don't know this, you could tell us this, but this isn't just for huge companies that have a huge budget. There was lots of companies that had kiosks that probably don't break the bank.
Yeah. And in fact, Joe, we care a lot about having the startups at Manifest. They bring the innovation. They're really important to the mix. So we do offer, a pretty cost-effective way to participate through a kiosk. And if as a startup, if you want to attend, we do offer a pretty deep startup discount as well.
Yep. By the way, I was talking to an investor there and he listens to my podcast. We were talking about my podcast and I met him last year at Manifest. And then he sent me an email the next morning and said, I listened to your episode with So and they're here. I'm going to talk to them. So he wants to invest in that company. I know they were looking for investors.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I love that.
And I was thinking, I know that's going on. I know there's deals being made and I know there was tons of, we didn't talk about it, but how many announcements were made at Manifest this year?
This year we have 45 companies making announcements. Some of them made 2 announcements. So I think the number was close to 50, but we had quite a few companies making announcements. And we do have a program for our sponsors who are interested in doing that. We really encourage it. Obviously, we want the media to come. We want you to cover all of these announcements. And we think that whole part of the experience is really important for the sponsors.
Yep. I've interviewed a lot of the people who you've connected with me with them prior to the event. And I interview them before or after. I'm still interviewing people I met at Manifest. So do we get a discount if we sign up for Manifest right now in March 2024?
Yes, we do. A big discount. We are actually launching registration on March the 14th. And it'll be the lowest price you'll pay all year long, $13.95. It'll raise to $25.95 on site. So if you're coming to Manifest, sign up.
And there's a lot of repeat customers there. And a lot of repeat sponsors there.
Yes, quite a few. And we want everyone to come back every year, Joe, obviously.
It's nice that they see the value in it and they keep coming back.
Exactly. March, April are a great time to sign up.
Before I forget, final night, you have a party every year. So the first year, it was Ludacris. I miss Ludacris, who I like. But I did see last year, I saw Nelly. And I sat with my friends over at Ryder. They were kind enough to get me in their VIP area. So hanging with the cool kids. And then this year, is it Omnia Nightclub?
It was at the Omnia Nightclub, yeah.
Which is unbelievable just to walk over there. You're like, look at this place. And we had Neo. And I was very impressed with first off, it's a huge crowd. It's all Manifest.
Yes.
It was, again, I've sat with the Ryder folks. Unbelievable. I don't think there's a bad place to be in that whole event.
I totally agree with you. I love
it. Just walk around. It's so like much. You're halfway to the stage.
You could go anywhere. It had so much digital advertisement opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
We were able to brand it in such a cool way. I love the venue. And I think we'll actually be back there next year because our group is so big. There are only so many places in Vegas that will hold us.
Yep. And you told me you also got a chance to go see Donny Osmond, his show, while you were in Vegas.
Joe, I think that was your best friend. That wasn't me.
I was asking, who is going to see Donny Osmond? Because he is there every year, that massive banner. I get there's Adele was there, U2 was there, other people. Donny Osmond, it seems like the biggest draw to Vegas. And I'm like,
I will admit, I saw Lionel Richie in Vegas one year.
I get that.
That was good. That was very good. But no Donny for me.
Oh, by the way, that I told you before we hit record, I was so busy, I didn't even think about it. And I thought, I didn't know they were playing. I knew U2 had this residency at the Sphere. My cousin had just been out there for it. And I looked it up and in my stupid little checking it out, I thought, oh, they're not playing that week because of the Super Bowl. I was wrong. And then I saw on LinkedIn, I think it was Matt Silver, who I was with. They went. And I was like, I love U2 and I missed them. But I did see Neo, so that was good.
I know, which I think U2 was the night of Neo, so you would have had to pick.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's enough Manifest people at U2, so I'd have to. Anyway, it was a fantastic event. Highly recommend it. So sign up now. If you know you're going, get the airfare, get the hotel rooms. Now, will Venetian be able to hold most of us next
year? Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice. Everyone should look. Some people have their favorite hotels in Vegas they stay at. They just do that. But it will hold everyone. If everyone at the conference wants to be there, they will be able to be there.
Excellent. Excellent. Courtney, put a big old bow on this one. I know we've talked about a lot of things. We talked about this just past manifest, but we're also talking about this coming manifest. Give us your final thoughts and tell us why we should be at Manifest 2024.
25, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. We just finished 2024. God, we just, I can't get 2025. Not there yet.
No, we're not yet. We got a long way to go, in fact. So I would say to anyone who's in the supply chain industry, if you want to be able to keep up with the trends and with the technology and seeing all the right people in one place, that there is no place like Manifest to do that. It's the most efficient way of seeing the technology and the people. And I promise you, not only will it be a great business experience, it will be a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, it was definitely fun and tons of business opportunities. So thank you so much for the event. Thanks for having me out there. And thanks for coming on the podcast again.
Thank you for having me, Joe. I really appreciate it. And thank you again for your partnership.
You are most welcome. And thank all of you for listening to my podcast. Your support's very much appreciated. Until next time, onward and upward.
You have been listening to the Logistics of Logistics podcast, where we engage with leaders in the logistics and supply chain community. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, hit the like button, and leave us a nice review on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you listen. Also, please check out our videos on YouTube and connect with us on LinkedIn. We're very big on LinkedIn. And you can also reach us on the logisticsoflogistics.com, our website.